Antonio has been working with me for a little over a year now, and I must admit that I myself am very proud of my growth, and so I take that into my life every day now. So when I do things, I make sure that I make sure my intentions and my motives are correct. I don't want to do anything that has a negative impact on me and my family. I reached out to Antonio due to me having a child and knowing that the lifestyle that I was living and how I was living was not what I wanted anymore. I wanted better for myself, therefore wanting better for my son. So I'm extremely thankful to Antonio for everything that he has done. My personal life would definitely be a lot worse than it is now. You know, it just, me growing as a person has allowed for other aspects of my life to grow as well. I am still growing and I'm still learning, and I'm thankful for Antonio for putting up with me for this past year and just having patience with me in regards to that. So I've definitely grown a lot thanks to his teachings as well as the teachings of Tempest, you know, so I definitely dedicate my growth to both Tempest and Antonio.
So if you would stand to your feet and help me welcome my friend, my brother, Reverend Antonio Smith.
Appreciate you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Take your
yes,
time.
Sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, amen. You may have your seats. I promise you two things. I won't get happy and holler at y'all.
All right.
And I won't be boring. Amen. Amen. But I will open up in prayer since y'all had church. God, we come to you right now that you can have this moment. We thank God for the freshman class of Wiley College. God, look at what you have done. They could be anywhere, but on this day, they praise your name. They didn't need no shout coordinators or anything else. They just brought you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 That's my assistant down there that are making all that noise. She's also, she called my wife. So if you see her on the phone right there, my wife's on the phone. We just had a cancer. Well, she had cancer. She got diagnosed with stage one cancer. We're cancer free as of last week. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So God is still a healer. Amen. Amen. But she is on 3 more weeks of recovery from surgery. So I promised her I'll call her so she can hear. Amen. 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 It is my privilege. First off, let me tell you, I'm very blessed, and I promise I won't take long. I'm very blessed to God has been good. Yes. Amen. I didn't know I could talk about God, but y'all didn't talk about God the whole time. God has just been good. Yes. Amen. Amen. He's been good. I got to retire when I was 29. From everything. God's been that good, so I don't have to worry about any income whatsoever. I'm saying that for a reason. I'm just 34, so I'm not that old. So I brought my book today. It's a digital copy, and I'm going to give it away for free. Amen. 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 So if you could, that website right there, revtony.org, just go to the products tab, and you'll see the Keep Walking book. Type in the coupon Wiley. All right. If you put in your college name, you will get it absolutely for free. It'll go on whatever device you got. So if you got an iPhone like me, everybody should have an iPhone, but I won't do that to y'all today. Amen. But I know, look, somebody went Droid. I understand, right? If you got an Android, it'll pull up. Look, she right there. It'll pull up as well. But you guys can have it for free. We'll keep it up there for what, 48 hours? That's fine. So just how many? 3 days? 30 days? Okay, she said 30 days. So we keep it up there for 30 days. So if you got to run, but just go ahead and put this stuff in there, you'll be able to get that. So my job is to talk to you about my book, my story, or whatever. So my name is Antonio T. Smith Jr. Please know that I was homeless from 6 years old all the way to 18. I am a product of Child Protective Services. Right, so CPS, but today, I think I was number one in my class, my master's graduating class. If I wasn't number one, I was number two, so God is good. Amen. Amen. That being said, I want to talk to you about some things about chapter 6 in this book, and the title of the chapter is I Got Hungry. Right, I had to keep a little ghetto on that chapter because it's a real talk chapter, right? So I got hungry, but what I would like to talk to you today is how to deal with discontentment. How to deal with discontentment. It's fair to say that if you are over the age of 6 days old, you know what it's like to be disappointed. Is that fair? No. Okay. Let me switch this up. It's all right to talk back to me. That's okay. I ain't gonna preach, but you can go ahead and talk back to me. All right. So it's fair to say that if you're over the age of 6 days old, you know what it feels like to be disappointed. Whether your financial aid didn't come through the proper way, amen, or whether just the whole left side of your family does not believe in you the proper way in which they should, we all know what it feels like to be disappointed. And so I have to tell you right now, as successful as the Lord has made me, I assure you it did not start that way. I was a complete failure. And the truth is, not only was I a failure, but I failed the fifth grade, that's the truth, and the sixth grade back to back. So here I am in Galveston, Texas at Wise Intermediate School. I go to school, I do all these whatever things, and I fail the fifth grade, and I'm smart enough to go to summer school, and then I pass, and then I go off to the sixth grade. So I go off to the sixth grade, and by this time I'm homeless. I have no ability to do homework. So how can you do homework if you don't have a home? That just kind of makes sense. Then I failed the sixth grade, but here was the problem. It was easy to fail the fifth grade, but when you fail twice back to back, people start to laugh at you. They already laughed at me the first time, but then they laughed at me the second time, and over again, they laughed at me. So I had to have this option. I had to choose between going to summer school this time and letting everybody make fun of me, all the teachers say all these things, the cops that would pick me up for truancy say all these things, and what do? I dropped out of school, right? Because nobody likes to be disappointed, and nobody likes to be publicly embarrassed, unless you're a new breed of a human being. And I don't know, please tell me how to be publicly embarrassed, but the one thing I don't like to do for sure is be publicly embarrassed. Matter of fact, I don't care how saved I get, don't you embarrass me in public. I wish I had somebody. Amen. Right? So nobody likes to be embarrassed in public. You can talk about me, you can talk loud all you want to, but there's a big difference between talking loud and then directing that talking loud at me, right? Okay, you understand. So here I am. I'm having this bad time. I failed the fifth and the sixth grade, and I have to have this opportunity to decide whether or not I'm going back to school. Now, keep in mind, I'm born in 1981. If you don't know anything about the 80s, please know that crack cocaine came right through the hood, and it was easier to get cracked than it was to get bottled water. Matter of fact, we thought bottles of water was for rich people, but it was real easy to get cracked. So here I am. I have this option. I can either go make some money, or I can go to school where everybody's laughing at me. Got no home, got no anything. I'm running away from all these foster parents and all these things. And so what do? Here we go again. Have you ever been in that point in life to where you failed and then you actually tried and then you failed again, and all you can say is, here we go again? Every time I try, it never works out. If I ever have any luck, it's only bad luck. Here I go again. I thought she was going to be somebody to depend on. Here I go again. I thought he was going to be the one for me, but he acted just like them. Amen. Here I go again. Always the same thing. Close but no cigar. I am tired of failing. Here I go again. But here was the problem. I was smart and I knew it. I was so smart, I would be so bored in class because I'm more of a, like, just get straight to the point kind of person. Anybody out there like that? Like me? Amen, right? So, like, just get straight to the point. Don't go around. I don't need you to go all the way around. You don't need to go to University Boulevard. Just come straight to my dorm room. Tell me what's going on. We can have a conversation like that. And so I'm sitting here super intelligent, super smart, and I'm so smart that I smarted my way into depression. Are there any overthinkers out there? All right, you take something, and matter of fact, you so much of an overthinker, they talking about you, and you done made up how they talking about you. You know exactly what they saying about you. It got quiet as soon as you walked in the room. She said this, and I know she said this, and you done made this whole conversation up in your head about what they said about you, and you know it because you saw it happen, and it didn't even happen, right? And so that's where I'm at. I'm doing all this thing, but here's what I do, because it's a terrible situation. You got to understand, I'm this 11-year-old kid at this time, and my parents gave me up at 6, and so I smart myself into depression because I start to put that on me. I start to go, well, you know what? They didn't love me. In fact, how you gonna love me when my own parents don't love me? And I start rationalizing this rationale. I start saying, well, you know what? Maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe I'm the problem. Had I not been born, my parents would still be together. Or maybe I could have did something better when I was when I wasn't doing something. Maybe if I didn't talk back so much. Maybe if crack didn't come through. Maybe I could have stopped them, and I start blaming myself for the mistakes of other people. Have you been there? To where you put somebody else's cross on your shoulders? Because the truth is, you got to carry your own cross. And if you want to carry the cross of everybody else, be prepared to be treated like Jesus Christ. You do know what happened to him, don't you? I mean, they whipped him so hard, they whipped his beard off. Now, you have to understand the amount of might that takes, because hair doesn't just come off your face. Skin has to go with it. So if you want to be treated like that, pick up everybody else's cross. Now, I'm not saying you can't love people back to wholeness. I'm not saying you can't carry their crosses temporarily. But when you make your lifestyle all about the lifestyle of carrying everybody else's cross, you will be crucified by other people. And so that's what I did. And that's what I was. So I couldn't let anybody love me because, well, how can you love me if my mama don't love me? So I start mistreating women. I couldn't stand you if you was a woman. Then I couldn't even stand you if you was a mother. Why? Because I hated my mama. I couldn't stand you if you was a man because I hated my dad. I couldn't stand you if you had parents because I hated my parents. If you had two parents, oh, we was fighting on sight. We didn't even need to have a conversation. I wasn't even going to let you know I was going to hit you because I was real skinny and small. So you hit me, it may hurt. So I was going to hit you first to knock you off balance. And so I get to this point in which I'm so smart that I'm too smart to have faith. And that's what we do when we get older, don't we? We get way too intelligent to believe God can do something over and over again, because he did it in the Old Testament. That has nothing to do with the 21st century. And so I'm sitting here thinking, all right, they don't love me. They don't all these things. And I have to get to the point in life to where I have to stop judging them for what they did to me. And the truth is, they did the best they could with what they had. The truth is, crack is a terrible drug. And so they're both on about, how can I blame them for giving in when the truth is, it's my cross to carry now. 11 years old or not, I still have to do something. Now, I could blame everybody else for my situation, but they didn't fail the fifth grade, and they certainly didn't go to the sixth grade and fail again. And here's the crazy part. Wise Enemy in the School, Galveston, Texas, 77551. You'll find out that I failed with a 75 overall average. This is a true story. I kid you not. My math grade was a 95. But the other way around, my reading grade was a 95. But I failed math with a 63. And it took my average all the way down because I never turned in any homework. So by technical default, they failed me because I did not pass math and I couldn't go to the next grade. So here I am. My friends are passing me up because back then it was fifth and sixth grade in one school. Then you went off to another school, seventh through eighth grade. So now everybody's passing. I'm no longer in the in crowd because I was a class clown. Any class clowns in here? All right, I sure appreciate y'all. Thank y'all for being transparent and honest. So, but now I'm not. Now I'm just the failure. The kid with the nappy hair and the yellow teeth. Now I'm just the dude with the Patrick Ewing's on and they out of style. Well, y'all too young to know the Patrick Ewing. He actually had some shoes, right? I'm just the dude that I got my jeans on, but now they're not jeans anymore because I got too short and I had to cut them and I got the frayed. Y'all ain't grow up poor. Okay. Well, for the rest of us, when they got high waters, we knew we had to cut them at the knees and now they became shorts. And so I don't fit in. I'm too smart to fit in. I have no desire to fit in. And I'm judging everybody else instead of judging myself for my own circumstances. And what do you do when you're too smart to fit in, when you have no desire to fit in, and when you're judging everybody else? You purposely fly under the radar. And I became a serial underachiever. Let me give you how that happens. I said, oh, you think I act like my daddy? Watch this. And that's exactly what I would do. Oh, you think I act like my mama? Watch this. And I abandoned both sides of my family. I hated every side of my family. My mama's side of the family hated my daddy, so they would talk about him. My daddy's side of the family hated my mama, so they would talk about them. So I left completely. Foster home, temporary foster home, over and over and over and over. I left. And then what happened? I quit. What's the point of going to school? I absolutely quit the sixth grade. I was not going back. I was not. There's no way I was going back. I knew how to make money. I knew who could make me make money. And I knew I had better family on the streets than I did at home. And then you can say, well, why are you staying in foster homes if you don't know anything? Now, I'm not saying all of them. But if you don't know anything about that, these people are just trying to get a check. And I'm sure somebody in here has been through CPS. There's way too many people. There you go. I appreciate it. There's way too many people in here. All they're doing is making $8.50 an hour. They turn the air conditioner on as cold as possible so you can sleep longer. Because when it's cold, you know, you stay in the bed longer. And as soon as you get up, they have a problem with you being up. And they tell you, go in that rec room and sit there and be quiet. And that was my life. To this day, I don't even eat sandwiches because I was tired of eating the sandwiches with the thick ice in the middle of it because the bread was so old, they put it in the freezer. To this day, I can't eat cereal because that's all I did was eat cereal over and over and over. So I quit. I could make more money selling drugs. So why not? I mean, that's my family. They love me more than my parents love me. So I quit. Here was the problem with quitting. Here's what happened that changed my entire life at 11 years old, walking to the sixth grade, fit to be 12 on July 20th. That's my birthday, by the way, so if y'all want to send me something. Hey, July 20th is my birthday. Just go to RevTony.com, email info at RevTony.org. Send me your social security number. No, I'm just joking. But if you want to, I'm just saying, you can go ahead and send me some money. I'm just playing. Right, but here's the deal. I'm sitting here. I'm going through all this pain. I quit. But then God did something, and he did something that I didn't expect, and he did something that just really makes no sense if you've never been through the struggle. See, for you, school or the school or a school is just something you don't want to do. But when you are homeless and you have no relationship with anybody, school is 2 square meals a day. And so guess what God did to me? He made me hungry. And so here I am, starving. And now, school becomes something a whole lot more than just an embarrassing place I have to go back to. School becomes where I'm going to eat. And isn't it amazing how God will do you like that? Because the rumbling in my stomach, the pain, my stomach touching my back, you couldn't see it, you couldn't hear it, but to me, it was louder than a jet engine. And God has a way of sending you signs or pushing you to a level where can't nobody else see it, but he'll make you hungry. Lord have mercy. He'll fix it to where you gonna do what I say do, or you gonna do what I say do. Now you have an option. You can do what I say do with your free will, or you can do what I say do against your will. You'll find that, like, you ever met somebody you knew they was called to preach, but now they're preaching in jail because they wouldn't preach in the free world. God says, you're going to do what I said to do. Now, you can preach out here or you can preach in there, but you're going to preach. And so God says, listen, now you got to go to school and you have to finish. And so if you won't go there because your ego, your pride won't let you finish because you're worried about what other people think about you. You worry about what other people are saying about you. Is there anybody out here that could just testify? I feel like preaching right about that. Is there anybody who could testify that you let other people who would talk about you and they ain't never did nothing for you? They're not paying none of your bills. They have nowhere where you're going to go. They want you to be unsuccessful because the more you are successful, the lower they feel about themselves. And you'll fool around and turn your shine down because somebody don't like the volume of your praise. And so I'm stuck in this situation to where I have to force myself to turn my volume up and take my egotistical 12-year-old self back to school. And so the lady who wound up adopting me 2 years later, Lucy Elizabeth Smith, this is an honest to God true story. She gave me a fork and would give me a fork so I can comb my hair because I told her, I had a chipped tooth at the time too. So I told her, I don't want to go back to school. My tooth is chipped. They always making fun of my hat. She said, baby, you take this fork. Now, I don't care what you have to do. If it takes you a fork to make yourself feel better, you do whatever it takes to raise your self-esteem. Now, that may sound bad to you, but whatever is in your life, if it makes you feel better about yourself, you need to start doing more of that. And if it takes you an aunt and a fork to get yourself up, drop your ego, and go back to school, then that's what you have to do. Because people never want you to be what you want to be, because it shows them what they're not. And the more you become who you want to be, the more they're reminded about how wrong they were about you and themselves. And so you'll have your family keeping you in 1993 when you were a little bad kid or a little bad girl, and they just want to be right about you. And since they said you will always act like your daddy, since they said you'll always, you'll never be anything, they are waiting for the other shoe to drop. I got family right now. I retired when I was 29. I got a master's. I'm on my way to go get my doctorate, and they still are waiting for me to be angry Tony. That's two decades ago, and they're still waiting on me to slip. Now, so here's what I did. Here's what you have to do. So I wrote this book, and when I came out in 2014, and thanks be to God, it became a bestseller on Amazon in 24 hours. And here's why I'm able to give it away for free today, because I bought my book back, started my own publishing company, and I could do whatever I want to do with it. But it never would have happened had I not got hungry. I'm going so well, you might as well keep walking. At some point, you will get hungry. Now, you going to listen to your hunger, or your ego going to make you drink water and convince yourself you are right? Now, at some point, you're going to have to say that these noodles don't taste good. Now, I don't care how much you put salt, pepper, and cayenne pepper in it, with some onion hot sauce, with the cheese all up in it. Ooh, I got some real country folk in here. All that, I don't care how, I don't care what, if you got to do all that to it, it ain't good. And so you have to be able to understand that it's okay to be able to know that I could put some sugar, I put some sugar on some toast and some butter on some toast, and I can make that a meal. But that meal ain't my worth. Lord have mercy. I want more, and I'm worthy enough to have more. So in my case, I got hungry. And here's what happened to me. Now I'm excited. Now I'm hungry. I'm going to go back to school. And then I found out something like, y'all ever seen Antoine Fisher? Okay. I found out something Antoine Fisher found out. Nobody came back for me. And that's a cold place to be. And the devil will make you do some things when nobody comes back for you. He'll make you beat yourself up because nobody came back for you. Here's the truth that I wish all of us would recognize. The devil doesn't really do too much to take us down. He gives us the seeds and we do it ourselves. Somebody told you you couldn't read when you was trying to read the King James Version of the Bible in Sunday school when you were 6 years old. Now you're 26 or now you're 21 and you still think you can't read and you suffer at reading and you don't like to read books at all. And the only thing you read is the side of your cereal box, not because you can't read, because what somebody told you when you were six. And so for 20 years, you watered a seed that the devil has planted in you and you destroyed yourself. He just gave you the tools to do it. And so we've got to get past that. We have to stop getting to the point to where we're doing the devil's nasty work. Our self-esteem is so low when God did not give us low self-esteem. He didn't say you are perfect, now you have low self-esteem. He said you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He said, I can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can ask or think. You're the lender and not the borrower. You're the head and not the tail. He did not say you got nappy hair, be low self-esteem. And so somebody told us these things. Somebody told us, and when it happened, nobody came back for us, and we let that be our worth. Since nobody came back for us, we let what they did define who we are. And that's absolutely inappropriate. It's grossly irresponsible. What somebody else does around you has nothing to do with your self-worth. What people do for you has nothing to do with your self-worth. You have always been a diamond. Matter of fact, ladies, you've been sexy way before he got there and told you so. Wish I had somebody in this place. And so you don't need anybody to validate who you are. Because if you can't be happy with who you are, you can't expect for somebody else to make you happy. Your happiness is yours to control. And if you give it to somebody else and say, here's my happiness, please take care of me, they'll let you down every single time. So I got hungry. Are you? Have you reached that point yet? Because can nobody see how hungry you are? But you wake up every night, 3 o'clock in the morning, and you can't get to sleep. And you can't figure out why you can't get to sleep. And you check your email, waiting for that $1 million email to come through. And every 3 o'clock in the morning, you get up and you use the restroom and you start plotting stuff on the internet. You're teaching yourself how to code right now. You teaching yourself different languages because you're hungry. And every single time you try to get some sleep, and they wonder why you only sleep 4 hours a day, because you're saying, I can't do nothing sleep. I can't make money sleeping. Every time you wake up, you say, I didn't do enough last night. As a matter of fact, if you woke up broke, you ain't have no business going to sleep. So I got hungry. But what about you? Because they'll tell you what you can't do. In fact, that's exactly what they want to tell you. People don't want you eating from a successful life. They don't want you to have this nice table that you get to enjoy God's blessings from. But here's the good news. The more they don't want you to have it, the more God wants to give it to you. I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Lord, have mercy. I show like some Christian folk. So the next time somebody don't want you to have nothing, just walk up to them, shake the hand and say, thank you for my table. I show appreciate how you praying against me. Would you do me a favor and pray a little bit louder so the Lord can hear you? So I got hungry and it forced me to go face what I thought I couldn't face. And so maybe it's not homelessness for you. Maybe it's not noodles for you. Maybe it's not a trash can for you. Maybe it's just simply you quit everything you start. And see, nobody can't see you quitting, but you quit. And so now you started piano lessons, you quit that. You started guitar lessons, you quit that. You started to do this, you quit that. You changed majors 5 or 6 times, you quit that. And at some point you have to get hungry. No matter what, see, you don't need to know what you're going to eat today. You just know you're going to eat today. Yeah. You don't need to know how your next meal is coming. You just need to know if I got to get it to somebody, going to give it to me. If I'm going to convince somebody to give it to me, I will eat today. Right. So you have to get hungry. And here's the wonderful thing. God has a way of sending you defined moments. Defining moments. For me, my defining moment was my stomach growling. And it changed my entire life because it forced me to go deal with ridicule so I can eat. So here's you. Here's what you have to do. Can you deal with people talking about you? Can you deal with looking bad so you can look good in the future? Can you save 10% of every piece of money that you earn now so you don't have to get the latest Jordans and the latest fashion or whatever it is so you can look good in the future? Can you miss a party or two and do some actual study work so you can look good in the future? If you give up a lot of things now, you'll live a life to where you can have every single thing that you desire. Why? Because if your character is together, then God has a way of giving you everything that you want just so it can please you. And that's the gospel we don't like to preach, right? We don't like to say, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all these things will be added unto you. We don't like to say, I give you the desires of your heart. So here's where we end. Here's what you need to know. You're struggling. because somebody's convinced you to use prayer as procrastination. You have no idea you're doing it. You can choose this major or you can choose that major. Should I go to work or should I finish this semester? What should I do? And you say, well, let me pray about it, because that's all somebody's taught you is this. Let me pray about it. Let me liberate you for a second. Christians use prayer as procrastination far too often. I'm not telling you not to pray. You should definitely have a strong prayer life. But you don't need to pray about things the Lord has already told you you can accomplish. If God told you you're going to have a bachelor's degree and you can feel it, why are you praying about fulfilling it when he already gave you the promise? See, the devil can't do anything about your promise or God's provision, but he can attack you everywhere in between. And you'll die somewhere in a sophomore year, still be alive and never get to senior year because you're too busy fighting the battle that the devil got you on sophomore year. So you never get to senior year because you're distracted with 20 or 36 semester hours when God said, no, you're supposed to have 126. And so you miss what he has for you because you're listening to what the devil has for you. So let me liberate you. Let me leave you with these parting thoughts. God wants what you want. And that's not the gospel we preach. We don't like to admit that God, we don't like to admit that it's actually prosperity in the Bible. We love the doom and gloom. We love to scare the hell out of you so you don't go to hell, right? And all that's good. Nothing's wrong with that. But he still wants you not to live in hell and then go to heaven. He still says, whether you make a bad decision or a good decision, I'm still going to follow you. Somebody missed what I just said. I'm trying to liberate you. Whether you do the craziest thing on planet Earth and wind up in jail, I'm still going to be in that jail.